You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
MTN reported first half HEPS up by 120.5% within guidance and no interim dividend declared, which is pretty much on par for companies that we see through this COVID crisis. HEPS positively impacted by 0 cents relating to that Nigerian fine interest, some hyperinflation excluding impairments of 10 cents and a reversal of the time value loss recognized on the Iran receivables of 8 cents. We saw group services revenue growing by 9.5%. Revenue overall of 16%, subscriber growth of 9%, and an improvement in the EBITDA margin by some 6.4% to 4.97%. So overall, I think a fantastic performance. 3 years into his role as MTN CFO, Ralph Mapeta joins us now. Ralph, you've racked up quite a few CFO awards as your time, including CFO of the Year, for, I would argue, the pivotal part that you've played in turning MTN around along with your team. What would you put down this particular six-month performance to?
No, thanks very much. I mean, we had, as you said, a very encouraging and, in fact, a strong first half. If you look at the operational and financial performance of the business, all the metrics you mentioned, and that's in a very challenging environment where, you know, up to end of March, you know, we hadn't really experienced COVID across our markets. And then end of March, pretty much up till now, you know, we've had various forms of lockdowns across our markets. I would argue that there are a couple of, you know, drivers to our results. I think the first is that we're still seeing, you know, base growth in our markets. You saw that we increased subscribers by just over 10 million subscribers to just over 262 across all our markets. So underlying base growth of new subscribers are driving our revenue. We've seen usage go up, you know, the COVID-19 impacts have also, you know, particularly created a surge which has remained sustained around data, you know, from all the work from home, learn from home arrangements that we've been well positioned to provide, you know, individuals and customers. And then the third area would be that, you know, we managed costs very well in the period and also did quite a lot on ensuring that we've got a healthy position across the liquidity of the company. We're actually in a better liquidity position at the end of June than we were at the end of last year. You know, 41 billion of you know, liquidity versus 31 at the end of. So, you know, those would have been the kind of the big, you know, macro factors that have delivered, you know, this very strong set of results. But I would argue also that COVID-19 in of itself has accelerated the digital economy, and that's obviously been a tailwind behind our results.
And that really plays into a company like MTN's strategy. You know, one of the big strategies and why you came over from financial services to a telco was also that the future of financial services is in our pocket. But the future of work now is also virtual. It's working, as you say, from home. The future of learning is virtual as well. It's amazing what we can do when we're forced to change the way we've always done things through a crisis like this. We've realized, and I host many events and conferences now online, we've realized we can do all of this online. How much of this do you think will remain sticky, and how is this perhaps altered or perhaps slightly changed your strategy if these trends are now moving forward slightly faster than they were pre-COVID-19?
No, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, you know, as we look forward, I mean, I guess it's anybody's guess what the new normal will be. But I think we can all agree it's not going to be going back to pre-COVID. You know, certainly, you know, our belief is that, you know, some elements of work from home are going to be permanent. And I think you read, you know, across different country companies and countries what their positioning is. You know, so we do see, you know, in a future, a new normal where there is some level of permanency around the work from home. Now, as MTN, we have 70% of our people actually currently working from home. Now, I mean, I think in a new normal, it won't be 70, but it's not going to be zero. So somewhere between the current and the past is going to be kind of a new normal and a new equilibrium. Work from home. I think on the education front, we will see that as well. I think we will see businesses also ensuring that they have the resilience within their infrastructure and connectivity to enable the people to work, you know, from home and at the office. So all of that to us means that the services we provide, the core connectivity services, which is 90% of our service revenue, are going to continue to grow, particularly data. Data will drive growth pretty much, you know, for the next 3 to 5 years. But what we will also see is digital services growing. Now, financial services and digital services for MTN are currently just under 9%, just under 10%. But we think that that can fast scale up to at least to 20% in the near term. And to your point, financial services is one area that, you know, we think you know, particularly stands out for MTN. You know, we've been able to build out a MoMo business with 38 million subscribers, which makes us, you know, probably one of the largest providers of financial services across Africa, if not the largest. And, you know, we just want to provide, you know, more coverage of, you know, these services to more of the African customers going forward and provide more what we call advanced services, so not just payments, but insurance and lending over time. So we think that that whole financial services, you know, on the on your phone, using apps, is really the future, and we're very well positioned to take advantage of that digital acceleration as it comes.
Yeah, as we've seen, there are clear winners from all of this. And I think tech firms and the way they've shot the lights out on the NASDAQ have been clear winners, the likes of your Amazons and Apples and Alphabets. And the likes of the telcos as well are also going to be net beneficiaries. We're keeping ourselves entertained a lot more online as well with streaming and gaming and all of those things that consume data. Now, for you personally, I think the Nigeria listing was the endpoint of a long-term plan to help resolve some of those complex issues, shall we call them, in Nigeria. And to say that MTN had a difficult time in recent times, there was an understatement. I think all of those issues were inherited when you and CEO Rob Shooter took the helm 3 years ago. But you've managed to resolve the various challenges, which culminated in that listing just prior to COVID. How did you navigate all of that to pull off the listing of what some thought was potentially unthinkable in that market to reverse that fine down to 0 cents?
No, look, as you said, I mean, over the last couple of years, we have had some complex issues to resolve. You know, the team has worked, you know, very hard, you know, to, you know, to, you know, to resolve them. We had the CBN matter and the AGF matter. And between group and the teams in Nigeria, we've all worked together to resolve that and put the company in a on a solid position, sustainable position, and you know, looking forward for growth. So the listing by introduction happened, as you said, in May last year. We did, however, say that the listing by introduction was just the first step, and that, you know, market conditions being conducive, we would look to sell down, you know, up to in a further 14% of our shareholding as group, you know, to Nigerians, you know, more broadly, so that we broaden our local ownership of what is probably Nigeria's premier company, if I may say so. So, you know, that, you know, the work in Nigeria is still ongoing. You know, COVID obviously has impacted the you know, capital markets in the interim, but we're actually working in the background to prepare ourselves for the time when the COVID kind of impacts and stress, you know, kind of is reduced, so that we can go back and honor the commitment we made to the various stakeholders that we would look to broaden ownership of MTN Nigeria, you know, more of those that shareholding in local hands.
And you are obviously focusing a lot more on Africa as well with the announcement today at the results that you plan to exit the Middle East after lots of headwinds that you've seen in that market, in Iran in particular, including some fresh allegations of aiding militant groups in Afghanistan. After all this time, MTN has never been one to shy away from frontier markets. Why now?
I mean, I'll start off by saying that, you know, we've been having a ongoing portfolio review since the back end of 2018, where we looked at the markets we're operating, as well as the assets that we hold on our balance sheet. And our first focus was, you know, to look at those assets, and we did communicate this asset realization program, you know, of monetizing some of these investments, which are operationally important, but you don't have to hold them as investments in the medium term. So that has been underway in both in the e-commerce and the tower companies. Jumia was listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and, you know, we've signaled that we would sell down, you know, in due course. And we sold the ATC Tower joint ventures, and then we had, now all we have is the IHS Tower Company. What we've done further was actually now to look at the markets, the various markets we're in on the African continent and then the Middle East. And I think what comes very clearly in a kind of a very cold analytical assessment is that the earnings contribution, you know, has actually reduced quite materially in the Middle East. And it's not because the operations themselves, you know, are not leading, you know, networks or telecommunications businesses. They are. But the key issue is that there's been significant currency depreciation in these markets. So when you look at a market like Syria, Syria in 2012 was, you know, $1 dollar buys you 87 Syrian pounds. Today, you know, one buys you 2,500. Cool. So a order of magnitude level of devaluation across these markets where the earnings contribution is now like 4%. And so this is a capital allocation and resource, you know, decision where we felt that our resources, both human and capital, could be, you know, best deployed on the African continent, because on the African continent, that's where we are looking to deliver, you know, core connectivity services, but on top of that, build financial services and digital services. That thematic you're seeing much more strongly from MTN on the African continent, and it is less developed when you look at it from the Middle East. So it's capital allocation, it's about strategy, and therefore the decisions that the board has made and we've now communicated.
And quite clearly with that, you signaled your intent to focus on these key areas. At home, MTN South Africa, feeling the impact somewhat of the lost revenue from that former roaming partner, an agreement that you had with Telkom, the service revenue down by 2.5% year on year, despite strong operational performance by that business. What is your focus to claw that back in the South African market?
Yeah, Michael, if you look, you know, kind of at the, you know, under the number, actually, we're pretty encouraged by, you know, what Godfrey and the team have done there. You know, if you exclude the wholesale effects, you know, that minus 2.5 is actually a plus 2.3. And then when you look at that number in terms of just quarter two, that growth was actually, you know, 4.3%. So the underlying consumer prepaid, consumer postpaid, and enterprise businesses all had very healthy growth in a tough macro environment. The, you know, the challenge that we've experienced is actually in wholesale, where although we recorded just about 780 odd million of service revenue from Cell C in the half, we still have 673 of unrecognized revenue. So it's not even on our books, but these are invoices we've issued. Now, you know, our understanding, we remain very close to Cell C, and you know, they are progressing with their recapitalization. You know, we understand that we're part of, you know, the execution of that recapitalization. So looking forward to being paid some of the money that they owe us when they complete it. But, you know, the core underlying engines of South Africa, which is consumer prepaid and consumer postpaid, those are beginning to show good growth. And that provides us with a lot of encouragement that the strategies we have, CVM, and, you know, kind of working, you know, more broadly on our cost efficiencies are beginning to bear fruit. You'll see that their margin was an exceptionally strong margin, just under 40%. That's the healthiest margin that we've had in South Africa, certainly in the in the last couple of years.
And then, lastly, Ralph, you're an engineer by training. You ended up in financial services, working for Old Mutual for 17 or 16 odd years, I think, and then eventually headed to Old Mutual Emerging Markets as CEO before Phuthuma Nhleko rang you and said, "Right, we need you here at MTN." Would and I know you can't say, but would you be open to leading MTN when Rob Shooter leaves?
I think we lead together at MTN. You know, I mean, we have a team approach at MTN, and we're trying our best, you know, to deliver value to all stakeholders. You know, I'm very excited about the future, you know, here at MTN, so I'm very committed. But as the chairman, you know, announced within our the SENS communication last week, you know, that succession announcement is somewhere between 4 to 8 weeks. So I think you won't have to guess too much longer. But I am very committed to MTN, and yeah, I really would like to make any contribution I can. And I think you can piece whatever you want into that response.
Award-winning CFO Ralph Mapeta, always a great pleasure chatting to you. I look forward to chatting to you next time around, potentially
so
with a new hat on as well. Take care.